Podcasting 2.0 for January 13th, 2023, episode 117. We're inscrutable. Well, hello once again. It's Friday the 13th. Time for a board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, where we discuss everything that's happening with the advanced podcasting, the future of podcasting that is here now. Of course, we'll talk about the namespace, I think. We'll definitely discuss what's going on at podcastindex.social. And I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in Alabama. Mr. Helipad himself, now with Birmingham Bridges. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, you called me eating a cheese.
Well, you know the timing of the opening. I mean,
I know. I totally misjudged things.
Eat your cheese on your own time.
Okay. All right. I'm good. I got it down.
Not your keys, not your cheese, bro.
That's right. That's right. I mean, have you seen the price? Speaking of food, though, have you seen Eggpocalypse? The national egg shortage.
Oh yeah. Oh, we discussed it in great length on No Agenda yesterday. You bet.
Oh, see, I'm a day late and a dollar short. I can't listen to Thursday's No Agenda, so I never know what you've already covered. Their backyard chickens came in handy though.
You know, so yes, we're up to like $8 a dozen here for eggs at the HEB. It was an interesting timing for the Dvorak publishing company to release the Too Many Eggs book.
Not enough. The appendix, volume 2. Not enough eggs.
But it was really based upon them having chickens, and they just, you know, they had too many chickens, and therefore, because, you know, chickens will lay an egg every single day, and if you got 10 chickens, yeah, you know, at the end of the week, you got 70 eggs to deal with. That's a lot, unless you have a big family.
Yeah, we have 2 chickens. We had 3. One of them got killed by the hawk.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
And so we have 2, but sometimes they. Sometimes they produce 1 egg a day. Sometimes they produce 3. So we're averaging 2 eggs a day. So by the end of the week, we have a dozen.
Yeah, Tina,
we got a dozen a week.
How many chickens? You have 3?
2.
Because Tina really, really wants to have chickens. I'm like, do you know what that entails? I mean, it's not just like you have some fun chickens and you just go out there with your little basket in the morning. La-di-da-di-da. Let me get my eggs.
Exactly. It's effortless.
No, the chickens are assholes. Effortless. The chickens are assholes. They do not want you rooting around getting their eggs, at least the ones that I had.
Ours are chill, man. They're totally chill.
Well, you got weasels everywhere who want to come and eat them. We have a dog that would probably eat them. Mm. Yeah.
You're good, man. You can do this. Backyard chickens.
You're not on my side, Dave Jones. Out of my side.
We never touch these chickens. We just throw some food in there, make sure they got water, and they just give us beautiful.
Now you have a coop?
Brown eggs. Every
you day. Have a coop for them.
Yeah, it's like a chicken tractor. So you can have it's like an A-frame portable thing. You just push it around the yard. You just move it around every.
You let them poop in one spot and then you move it to another spot.
Yeah, and then it slowly composts your entire yard and makes it beautiful.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. There is easy, man. There is so easy.
You have children around the house who you can force to do that. You know who's going to be doing it if we have chickens here? It'll be me.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
You.
No.
You and Phoebe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Phoebe will be intently watching, waiting for one of the chickens to...
She will be all over
and escape, and you'll be like, boom.
Although I have to say, you know, we did that 3-week boot camp, man. I am impressed.
What do you mean boot camp?
No, we sent Phoebe to a 3-week boot camp.
Oh yeah, you told me about that. Yeah,
I am impressed. She has a command for that. You know, she can bark, and I want her to bark if there's something to bark about. And if I say quiet, then she needs to stop barking. That we have about a 60% hit rate on that. Everything else, is almost 100. Like Phoebe, come, and she can be halfway, like a football field away. She'll come. That was surprising.
How old is Phoebe?
I think about 5. I'm not sure exactly. And she's always been an outdoor ranch dog. You know, God knows what her history is. My favorite is place. She has a little bed, you know, raised, one of those raised beds, and she right away, she'll run over to it. She lays down on it and she knows that's where she has to stay. So when people come in, you know, we had 8 people over the other night, including the pastor's wife who Phoebe tried to bite last time. Fantastic.
Oh, no.
That's what sent her to boot camp. Believe me.
Yes, first impressions are great.
But we didn't understand is that, you know, we thought she was just calm, but she was really the opposite of calm and just getting really more nervous and nervous. And then when people are leaving and standing around her and go, goodbye, Phoebe, and put your palm down on top of her head, she's like, no, 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 no. You know, she didn't really bite. It's scary. It's scary for anyone. It's a 110-pound dog, you know. Anyway. No, she's been great.
This is the hardest thing to tell people is like,
don't touch my cute dog.
Yeah, I promise you, my dog is very sweet, but like, it's just the sheer size of it is intimidating and terrifying.
Oh, well, see, the problem is Phoebe has such a cute face. Everyone's like, oh, and they just want to hug her and rub her and everything. And, you know, then if she makes, you know, if she opens her mouth, she got a healthy bark, you know, it'll change your mind real quick.
Right. What's a trap dog?
Oh, you know, well, this is how we got trapped into saving her.
Oh,
you didn't. Okay, oh, yeah,
that's
yeah,
the
yeah,
trap.
Yeah.
That's the trap. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We begin with a battle over paternity leave.
Paternity leave. I deserve it.
Yeah, listen,
man, I should have this day off. I have privilege. I have this beautiful.
Yeah, this is a fact. When
Labrador.
When you rescue a dog, then you're like, you know, the hero of anywhere. So Fletcher made this song for me.
You get cred.
This is what it was. This is what it was. Trap dog. Trap dog.
Like a trap baby.
Yeah. Trap dog. Your doggy daddy is what you are. Like baby daddy.
Yeah. You take her anywhere and it's like, oh, what a beautiful dog. Yeah, she's a rescue. Oh, can I have sex with you? I mean, that's literally how it goes.
It's pretty. It's right. Yeah.
Even if we get one from an official dealer next time. Oh, rescue. Sorry.
A dealer.
Oh, that's what they are. You kidding me? Thousands of dollars. You get interviewed. Ugh, I don't like that at all.
No, you get cred. You get street cred for that. You got all over the place.
Yeah, she's about to eat someone's dog. I'm sorry, she's a rescue. Oh, okay, it's all right. Here, she can
you
have.
I think you get more street cred today for a rescue dog than you do for adopting a child.
Unfortunately, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. You're like, oh yeah, we adopted, and they're like, oh okay, that's great. But you say, yeah, I got a rescue dog. Oh, that's so beautiful. Y'all are awesome.
Yeah, you're going to heaven.
You're going to heaven. Yeah, crowns.
Speaking of which, I set up Pastor Jimmy here in the Bridge Church in Fredericksburg with his podcast.
And so what is the content of this podcast? Is it sermons?
No. He's doing a podcast with Dame Annette, his wife. And it's called, I don't want to misquote it. I'll tell you exactly what it is. So it does about 45 minutes once a week. Hold on, why is CurioCaster not happening for me? Hello, CurioCaster. There we go. Hello, Curio. There we go. Hello, CurioCaster. It's called Living Up in a Down World.
Oh, okay.
I hooked him up. I got Jeff Smith to do an opening jingle. Here, listen to this.
He's old. Uh-huh. You're going to have him like right out of the gate with the first podcast.
Yeah.
Is this?
Yeah.
No, this is too much privilege. He's got to earn it the hard way.
So
I expect to hear, welcome to our podcast.
Close. And very interesting you say that because, of course, I said, look, I'm going to put the first couple of them together for you. You know, I'll get the sound right. They have some issues with, you know, the room is a little boomy. He's a musician, so he understands doing stuff. This is my main note to him. Before you start the show, you got to listen to the jingle and get into the mood here.
This is Jimmy Pruitt and Annette Pruitt, and we are living up in a down world.
So, he's not in the mood.
He's not quite in the groove. Not in the groove, exactly.
You gotta listen to the 100% retro to get going. It looks like it's blood pumping.
So I said, look, I want you to learn how to. I want to learn how to do everything. I want to learn how to do everything. And he wants value for value and everything going on. So I say, why don't you try RSS.com? because they have a real simple, you know, they have a partnership with Albie, and you'll be able to say, and he said, all that went well, set it all up and everything. And then when it came to, transcripts, it was very confusing. I don't know if RSS.com is doing them right, because they have this box and you're supposed to paste it in there. And so I ran
the URL of the file.
No, the transcript, and it's
the
very
whole thing.
And it's very unclear if that's supposed to be an SRT file or what it is. So I basically baked an SRT file. Said, here you go, paste it. Now it doesn't show up. So I'm not even sure if they have it as an actual, if they're implementing it correctly. It was disturbing. It's something I got to figure out.
But here we go. Living up in a down world. I found on the index. That's
all.
5950904.
By the way, very pleasant. He published the first episode. Showed up through the magic of Podping. Showed up on the index like within 5 minutes.
Oh, so you did. So you didn't even add the feed to the index.
Nope.
Sucked it in.
It sucked it in right away. That was very pleasant.
Living. And so I see one split.
I think that split will be for Jeff Smith, probably.
Says living up in a down world is the split. Interesting. Okay.
Oh, maybe. So wait. No, maybe there's no split in there. That I got to work on all that. I don't think the split is in yet.
But this brings up a good point. Because I'm exploring this new podcast, you know, like, because it's when you see the. Whenever you see the birth of a new podcast, it's a time of joy and exploration. And it's interesting to me that I wonder if RSS.com can do splits. See, that might be the issue.
Well, forget the split for a second.
Forgotten.
Forget the split. The transcript. I like that. The transcript is wrong. And you know, now I'm kind of regretting. Should I have sent them to RSS.com? Because if they can't do splits. You know,
let's see, let me look in.
Well, we don't have to deconstruct the whole thing. But what
I
did
do transcript, no. They've taken the transcript and
they've jammed it in somewhere else. Haven't they?
It's got a URL of its own. apollo.rss.com/transcriptions/772911.
Okay.
And so then the type is text/plain.
Oh,
which is, but if you, okay.
We just pasted in the SRT file with the time codes.
All right. So here's a big problem with this transcript because if you go to that URL, what you get is a string of text that says https://keys.openpgp.org/vk. There's no transcript here. It's just a URL.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's not.
So somebody pasted something wrong into a box is what it looks like to me.
Well, I'm going to have to dive into it.
Okay.
Because I said
this is not a private key of something.
It wouldn't be my private key.
What even is this? What is it? What is keys.openpgp?
I don't know. I know. I copied the. I sent them the transcript from otter.ai.
If this is Otter's transcript, Otter has got brain damage because this is not. This is weird.
Okay. Well, that's all stuff I got to look at.
Okay.
But anyway, the no splits is a problem. That's a problem.
Maybe they can't do splits.
He did it all himself, which I'm really happy. You know, it's like, oh man, that worked. I'm just kind of walking him through when he has a question. But we have a call set up for Monday.
Okay. Nathan Gather, I just posted, here's what the RSS.com transcript UI looks like. Add a transcript to your episode that will be included in your RSS feed and displayed on your public episode page. Check out this post on RSS.com. on how to transcribe your episodes for free.
No, but yes, then it says down the below, it says you can use Otter. So I did it and I sent him the text, the full text of the SRT file with the time codes every two lines, the way I do it for everything.
That did not end up in the right spot.
Okay.
That is
All right. We got stuff to work on. But anyway, it was reasonably pleasant. I just hadn't figured out. I hadn't done I hadn't looked into the split yet. But I have to do that for Jeff Smith because he did the opening, and that's the deal, right? Is he gets a percentage?
Let's see.
Value for value, baby.
Can RSS.com do splits in the value block? Real time, I'm asking Alberto if RSS.com can do splits.
Dreb Scott says, if you open the PGP key in Notepad, it's Adam C's public key. What? he probably took...
You emailed him the transcript and he copied and pasted...
My public key.
Your public key?
Jesus, help me! Holy Spirit, bring me some solace here. We'll have to work on that.
Yes. Convert a public key into a transcript. Water into wine.
But isn't it interesting how things can, you know, how people interpret stuff, right? It's like landing the plane, teaching the stewardess how to fly the plane. Oh, anyway.
yeah. I've done Microsoft Flight Simulator. Does that work?
Anyway. You know who's not going to have a problem with any of that? Before I wanted to set the record straight. I made a comment on last week's Pod News Weekly Review with James Cribblin and Sam Sethi. And James misinterpreted that. The story was that there are some hosting companies who are serving a separate RSS version to Spotify that includes chapters in the way Spotify wants them.
Yeah, with the dumb marker things.
And my comment was, that's rude and it's counterproductive to everything we're doing. Now, James immediately thought I was talking about him, but I wasn't.
Oh.
I don't remember which hosting companies are doing this, but I think that's really a shitty thing to do, honestly.
They don't care. They don't get they're losing their shirt.
I'm not talking about Spotify. I'm talking about the hosting company that did this. There's a hosting two hosting companies who, especially for Spotify, are sucking them off and giving them a special version so you can use chapters on Spotify. That pisses me off.
Oh yeah, they should have just given them the cold shoulder.
Yeah, F off. Because if you do that, you know what? Why don't you just do everything Spotify wants? They're not going to buy you, okay? It might have been Captivate. I'm not sure. I can't remember who it was. Doesn't really matter.
I don't remember either.
I just wanted to make the point that's not cool. You know? They don't love you, okay? They don't care about you. They're not going to do anything for you. And all you're doing is counterproductive to the actual standard that we're using.
Well, the issue there is that they don't give anything. They don't do anything for anybody else. Why would we do anything for them? It's not a two-way street. You know, I mean, like, when's the last time Spotify gave us an awesome open standard that we could all adopt and use?
No, but... This is
they don't. That's not what they do.
No, but the issue is much deeper for me. You know, we these chapters didn't even exist, and now now there's companies who are like, oh well, you know, Spotify wants it. Well, we'll do it this way because that's how YouTube does it.
Some people some people love the YouTube thing. I think it's janky.
Yeah.
It just janks up
you can't do proper titles, you can't do proper images, a whole bunch of stuff you can't do.
Well, let's just say let's say this. All right, instead of chapters, all you have to do is put a bunch of timestamps into your show notes and then we can and then we'll parse those out and create the chapters from that. So see there, you know, that's great. It's wonderful. Okay. What about transcripts? Put your entire transcript in your show notes and we'll parse out all the timestamps and do all this kind of stuff. Yep. Okay. What about, you know,
value for value.
Dump all that crap in there. I mean, it's like, why are we parsing stuff out of show notes?
Yeah.
It's like okay, dump all of this unstructured data.
No, but what I understand, they're literally taking the chapter file and then dumping it into show notes with time codes for Spotify.
Yeah, no, so that it looks like crap. The proper way to do that, in, I mean, proper in as far as like with some elegance to it, is to just support an actual structured schema file and pull the, and if you want to display the chapters as markers in a text fashion, just parse that thing that's already there, then display them in the show notes if you want that. Don't do it the other way around. That's dumb.
But the reason that whoever's doing this, the reason they're doing it is because they, it's marketing. Hey, we, our chapters work in Spotify. And what happens then is then the next hosting company is like, well, you know, people are going there because their chapters work in Spotify. It's a new thing on Spotify. We better do it too.
Nobody gives a crap. Nobody gives a crap.
Well, clearly someone does.
Nobody gives a crap about whether their chapters work on Spotify. If you can, I will make this. I will make this bold prediction.
Okay.
If you or not, it's no. This is not a prediction. This is a bold statement. This is a statement. I'm going to declare this. If you care at all about fill in the blank thing about podcasting in Spotify, if you are a podcaster and you care about X in Spotify, it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with chapters. I can promise you that. All you care about is like monetizing or something. It's all the squid ads or whatever. You don't give a crap about features. No, nobody's putting all the stuff that they're spending time on, polls, Q&A. Nobody uses that stuff. Nobody cares. Because I mean, the only people that are on Spotify are just trying to make a buck.
No, I disagree. People are on Spotify because they believe that the audience is on Spotify, which, of course, there is a large portion of people who listen to podcasts on Spotify.
But nobody pays for them there. They also, it's all ad supported. There's nothing. Nobody goes to no Spotify listener. No, whether it's audiobook or whether it's audiobooks or podcasts or music or anything. No Spotify listener cares about any of the features of the app.
Oh no. I agree with you there. I'm just saying, look, we don't have to make a big deal of it outside of, I just find that it's rude. If you're going to, go around the standard to kowtow to anybody, then screw you. That's my point.
Cut it out of your life. Yeah. Cut Spotify.
Well, I mean, now that the headline is clearly every podcast listener wants video. We need video.
Yeah. Because they can't make money with audio.
I looked at the data from this survey. I kind of want to know, who commissioned it or why. I mean, it seemed like it was just a lot of YouTube stuff in there. And the whole premise that, what platform do you listen to podcasts on? And if, 35% say YouTube, okay, those people will want video. And then they want, and the reason why is they want to see facial expressions. Do you want facial expressions in a true crime podcast? Is that really what you want to see? Ooh, I'm very scared. It's a scary part, scary music. No, that can't have video. That has to be audio. That's what makes that genre so fantastic. Yeah, I'm just spouting off today.
This is interesting. Oh, see, Alberto just replied and he says, not yet, but it's in the roadmap for splits.
Oh, okay, cool.
He says, for reference, now this is an interesting stat. For reference, so far we host 638 podcasts with value for value active.
No.
That is not bad.
That's quite a lot, actually. I mean, what is our current tally of... we're over 11,000, I think, right?
Yeah. 11,700, 200, something.
Well, that went up a lot in the past couple of weeks, and I can tell you what's going on. I mean, we have Liftoff now. There's some really cool stuff happening. I'm going to hit 10,861.
10,000? I thought it was 11,000.
No, 10,860. That's what I'm seeing on our own website. Could be wrong. I think it was about 11,000. It's a little under 11. I think the integration of Albi into Podverse, which is much tighter. I mean, it's tight. It's working. And Albi having a direct fill up your wallet with a card, with a with a debit card. I think debit card works probably better than credit card. And Fountain having the same in app. Breeze, of course, has that in app. You know, it's such a difference from a week ago when we were struggling to tell people. Remember when there's that whole thing like get your Cash App and go to that part on the Cash App and then copy the invoice. And I mean, now it's just like boom, you throw. And I did it. Of course, I tested it. I ran through the whole process on Fountain. There were some things that needed tweaking, and a couple other people on Podcast Index on social were helping. Also, go. I think. Might have been Chad F, maybe Dreb Scott, maybe both.
Generation Macintosh, he created a video, like a how-to video.
Oh, beautiful. But the KYC was literally address and social security. No pictures, no driver's license, no, you know, turn to the left, turn to the right. There's a waiting period because you are literally buying Bitcoin on chain, and they give you the transaction ID. You can see your transaction, and there's a link to the mempool, which of course is incredibly confusing for people. So that needs to be explained.
Yeah, no links to mempool. It's easy. Look, it's easy. Just get when you all you got to do go get your credit card and your driver's license, take a picture of yourself, and then here's a link to mempool. Yeah. See how easy that is.
So again, you don't need the, with MoonPay at least, I didn't need a driver's license or picture, just the payment info and social, which I don't like giving out, but you know, it's a light KYC. And that was impressive. And so now when Tina and I do Korean the Keeper on Wednesday coming up, I think it already got easier. People like, we had like 2.5 million sats in boosts from, you know, between shows. And this is making a difference now.
Did you say 200 million?
No, 2.5 million.
I was like, holy crap.
I wish. No, 2.5 million. But now, and these are, you know, these are people who typically just hit play on the website. A lot of them women. And now it's a get an app. And here's the very simple way to, because they all want to do it. They all want to send value.
Yeah.
And they just fall off the edge. Yeah. So now it's possible. I think this is a very, very, very big deal for value for value streaming and boostograms. I think it's really going to make a difference. And I commend Mitch and Oscar and Roy and all their teams for this type of integration. This is good onboarding that's happening here, especially when you're actually buying Bitcoin. That's impressive.
I think this could be a way forward for Podcast Addict too. The Albie integration.
I hope so.
Because Xavier had looked in. I think maybe about a year ago. I don't remember how far back it was. I think he had looked into value for value streaming and the LMPay API. He was like, nah, this just doesn't feel like it's ready. It just doesn't feel like it's ready.
He was probably right at the time. Probably right.
Yeah. Cause he was like, there's two, he was having trouble with, and I think at the time LMPay was struggling with capacity and stuff like that. He's like, it's not reliable enough. I can't do this. And so, you know, but the Albie integration that Podverse did, that is an easier thing on the developer themselves because they don't have to, they're just letting you link to your wallet. You're not having to make those.
Right. And at that point is all, I mean, what I love about the Get Albie system, the way I think it should work, which is the way Sovereign Feeds does it. God bless Stephen B. So when I add a split to the No Agenda feed, which is that only changes for one split, and that is for the artist. And I've encouraged all the artists to get an Albie wallet. So if it's Tantanil at getalbie.com, I literally go into Sovereign Feeds, and then I set up the split, and I click Albie, and I type in Tanta_Neil at getalbie.com. Everything's populated. That's...
It resolves it. It resolves it with the key set, the LN URL.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And
I take it back. It's not LN URL.
No, it's not.
It's not. No.
It's that other thing.
It's the other thing. Yeah.
But that is really impressive. You know, so that to me seems the way, if you're going to have a Get Albie integration, just have them just enter your Get Albie Lightning address and boop, you're done. You shouldn't have to do anything else. And then authorize, obviously.
Well, Servo said when I talked to Xavier, he was worried about Google.
That's what I remember. That's what I remember the problem being. The problem is, we can't do that because Google has real, they've had issues. They kick people off for using wallets and stuff. But clearly, other people are doing it.
Yeah, see, that's the way, like I said, that's the way forward because Podverse, Mitch and the boys, they pushed. They're all over Google. So it's not, it doesn't seem to be an issue.
Xavier has a flag though. They don't like him for some reason.
That's just
Google. No, that's just Google. Hey, look, Google deplatformed me from Google Ads in 2010. I can never, ever, ever again make any money through Google, YouTube, or anything.
Why? What did you do?
I had an app at the time, which I built myself, I might point out.
That's impressive.
The Big App Show. And what
I remember the Big App Show. That was you had Freedom Controller on the Big App Show for a while.
On the web stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And the way I would do is I'd shoot videos of apps in portrait mode, and I'd go full screen. So you were literally getting a demo of the app that looked like it was running on your phone. And this was 2010, so that was kind of cool. And I had ads in there, and I'd be talking about the apps, and I'd say, oh, by the way, you know, we got ads here. So tap on the ad, take a look at the sponsors. And I was doing like $2,000 a month in Google ad money for 2 months. And then Google went, oh, this is false. This is fake. These are fake clicks. I said, what do you mean? I said, you're asking people to look at ads. Okay.
And that's what you're supposed
to do. That's the point. No, no.
So you got a lifetime ban for that?
Forever. Yeah.
It's because you were making too much money.
I don't know what it was, but it wasn't all that much, but it was just, I mean, it was nice money, certainly at the time, but just, you know, dicks are dicks. What? Advertising sucks. This is why we wound up here. I don't like being deplatformed for bull crap.
Yeah, right, I bet.
We got some relevant boostograms coming in live as we are lit, of course. Podverse currently will alert you if you set it up when we go live. From Conchax, which I'm going to assume is probably Boomy or someone from Get Albie. Let's see. It says here, this is 5,000 sats. To make V4V onboarding as easy as possible, we've added a tool that lets you validate your V4V setup with two clicks. Also, amounts can now be displayed in fiat fund coupons. Oh, nice.
What does that mean, validate? Does that mean like it'll tell you if it'll check your block and tell you if the splits are goofed up?
I think so. Okay. Boost us again with 50,000 sats with the answer, please. One technical hurdle we had during the development, it's value for value. We couldn't find the correct way to round splits in the spec. How do you guys think splits should be rounded? I mean, this is down to the Satoshi level, I guess, if it's an odd number.
I think I would just
round them down.
Rounding down.
round them down is what I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, because if you round... I would round down just to be safe.
I'm sorry, here's Alwyn. 10,000 sats. Oh, it is Alwyn. Okay. And I guess Alwyn is from... Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is a fun idea. 33,333 from Booberry. Does anyone present have an opinion on open source solution to Substack? Okay, we'll do that in a moment. No, he sent the same message twice. I got it. I'm not sure exactly what that means. We'll have to figure it out.
I think we already discussed.
Isn't that in the spec? Isn't that in the spec somewhere? I thought we put that in there.
I thought we had a long discussion about rounding down.
I recall something about that too. Yeah.
I may be wrong, but I mean, I think we've been down every one of these roads before. Mm-hmm. Now, not to say that there's something that can't come up that we haven't, that I've thought about, but I mean, I'm almost 100% sure that we early on when we were, I think it was, we're hashing out, what do you do when the splits don't add up to 100, and that's when we went to a share model instead of a percentage. Yeah.
So if you have a, if you're running a podcast at rss.com, does the index get a split or is no split? Is that automatic? It depends on where they're getting it from, I guess.
Yeah, like always.
If they use the API, then that's when the split is put in. Okay, got it.
Yeah, if people get their value block information from us, then we put the 1% in there. If they get it straight from the feed, then they don't have to. Right. I mean, they don't have to either way, but it means honor system.
Yeah. Well, everyone's a crook these days, so what are you gonna do? Speaking of crooks, Sam Sethi got funded.
Wow.
It was a joke. But man, 300,000
start.
300,000 pounds. Whoo! Congratulations, brother. That is an amazing amount of money in this investing climate.
So I haven't listened to.
I was listening to it today. I was listening to it.
Yeah, but did he say who it was that funded?
No. He didn't say who it was or what the valuation was, which is marginally interesting. But
at least $1 billion, at least.
It's probably a valuation of $1 million. I would say it's probably what it is. It doesn't matter. I'm really happy for Sam because I know how hard he worked on this. It was, he had partners he had to get rid of because, they fell down and weren't doing anything. And so he picked this whole project up and it sounds really cool. I know you saw, kind of an alpha version working.
It's beautiful.
I think a lot of this money is for marketing, which is exciting. It doesn't cost that much these days. All the stuff is kind of out there. So it's UI, UX, which, takes real skill and real people who can do that.
He's got a great developer too. Was on a call with them, and his dev one day, and they were like, the guy really knows what he's doing. He's a good guy.
Yeah. I'm so happy. And, this is marketing money. So I'm very excited how much he's going to donate to the show for us to talk about him again.
Yeah, see, 300,000 in sats. What would that be?
That's a lot of coin, baby. It's a lot of coin.
This felt like the last week was a lot of developments.
Yeah.
And sort of revelation, like pushing forward because Blueberry, they're evidently about to release the Kraken.
Wow. The Kraken's everywhere these days. I know. Yeah. Todd wrote a whole write-up of podcasting 2.0.
Well, you can do live streams now and you can put those in your feed in the Blueberry UI.
And they offer the streaming server as well?
I don't think that they do.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they do that, but I read through the article that he linked to, and it's an explainer about how to put your live stream information into your feed using their dashboard. That's great because then, like a day later or something like that, Xavier says that Podcast Addict is going to release beta, and evidently it's out now. So he's got beta live item tag support in the beta.
Ah, I didn't know that. Okay.
Of Podcast Addict. Yeah.
Excellent. Let me see.
It says live streaming now too. It says, if you have the latest beta installed, you can listen to Podcasting 2.0 live right now and interact with the chat by pressing on the player screen chat button. You get notified about the live starting in real time via push notification. Yeah. So it sounds like a lot like Podverse. So his support,
we need to put him everywhere. I need to start promoting him as the for No Agenda. Then, if that works, if people can get a ping, we want people to be able to listen live. That's fantastic.
Yes, I think he may be in the chat. Actually, I think I saw somebody boosting his karma in the chat a while ago. So I'm assuming he's testing it live from the app. So that's two apps now that can do. They can do live item, do live streams and chat, the live chat. So that is exciting.
I have a comment on Todd's blog post.
Okay.
So he goes through the live stuff and he says, let's talk about the crypto component. Then he gives a little breakdown of what a Satoshi is. And I think this is incorrect. He says crypto astigmatism. I think he meant stigmatism. Astigmatism is a thing with your eye, isn't it?
That's like nearsightedness.
Yeah. So crypto, I don't think it's a stick. Well, it's funny. If it's crypto nearsightedness, I don't know. I think that may be true. Yeah. I think you need to remove the A.
Astigmatism is a common and generally treatable imperfection in the curvature of the eye. Yes, I think he means
stigmatism. That's a boo-boo there. That's got to fix it. I also fixed newpodcastapps.com with the HTTPS.
Okay, tell me what you had to do.
Wow.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, I mean, all I really wanted is just put a forward in there. But, you know, it's like you can't just forward an. So if someone typed in HTTPS, newpodcastapps.com, there's no cert for that. And, you know, and I guess I could have. I actually went in and looked at the GitHub. I'm like, can I add this into the Nginx or whatever needs to be done so that we can just have the cert on the other side? But then you can't actually make it forward to /apps. podcastindex.org/apps. So DN Simple, who I use, they have a URL forwarding service, and it's in the DNS record. It's a URL record. And while you can forward from HTTP to HTTPS, if you want to forward from HTTPS to the URL with HTTPS, you need to have a different account, because basically they're then acting, they are acting as the cert. So okay. I have a cert registered for that domain name, and then it's hitting their server and then being forwarded. So I guess they want to charge money for that service, which is okay. I don't mind. And so then I set it up, and the only thing I couldn't do was I couldn't do a parameter. So I can do podcastindex.org/apps. I couldn't do /apps? Filter by app. That doesn't work in that scenario.
I see that. Okay. So that was the issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, I think crypto astigmatism is its show title.
Oh yeah. Yes. Or stigmata, this would be another way to go with this. The stigma, I think
astigmatism is funnier.
Okay.
I like it a lot.
This is great.
It's fantastic. It's great. I'm so happy. What have we been? 2.5 years from concept to where we are today?
There's something about the live. There's something about the live stuff that just I don't know, man. It's really exciting. It feels like value for value to me. It feels like something brand new. Everything else is different. The rest of the stuff in the namespace, yes, it's cool, but they feel like just sort of making things better than they were. Mm-hmm. They feel like it feels like an evolution of things. This feels like something truly new in a podcast app that's never been
agreed.
It's really never been done. And to me, when you can do that, you can kind of like. And when I say never been done, I understand there's apps that have done live streaming. I'm talking about in a podcast app that is a dedicated, independent podcast app itself. When you can make all of them able to do, to be radio receivers for live content, that is special.
And thank you, Mitch, for squashing the bug for 100% retro, the live feed. Now, I get an alert, maybe 8 times a day.
Yeah, me too. It's my canary in the coal mine for everything.
Everything's still working. Exactly. Yeah. And it's beautiful because the alert pops up and it's got the right title, the right image. And over the weekend, there it was. Ben Lebron popped up. Kim Wilde popped up, and I tuned in. I listened. You're like, oh, okay, that was very cool. And then the best. It was frustrating, even because it was Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? I think I was in the periodontist office in the chair. Bloop, and I said, hold on a second, because this is how I talk to my periodontist. Back off for a second. Let me take a look. Oh, it's the new media show. I really want to listen and boost the grammar.
Back off.
He's like, no, open your mouth.
It's like, clear out, man. Give me some space.
Give me some space. I was bummed about it because I really want, it was exciting. It was truly, and I have every reason to be extremely jaded about this stuff.
Well, I'm not typically a live podcast listener. Like, that's just not normally how I roll. And I realize it's because I always had to, I have to go to my computer and I have to know the schedule, and it's just too much mental. It's just too many hoops to jump through.
Yeah, of course. And now we just tap it, boom, it's open, it's running. It's fantastic.
Yeah, then Podverse notified me the other day, new media show just went live. Yep. I just clicked it.
Yep.
I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I'm in. Hit me.
And I don't know what happened, but my my Get Albi stays connected now to Podverse. I don't have to reconnect it every single time. As far as I know, there was no update past the one that was fixing. It wasn't fixed, and then it's fixed. It's magic. I love it.
Well, maybe it was an Albi problem. Maybe it's something.
I think it was. I think there was an Albi authentication issue that it was dropping for some reason. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. Whoever fixed it, merci beaucoup. And chapeau bas and all that good French stuff.
I feel like we want to talk about at least a little bit about the web monetization stuff. I didn't want to talk about it last week because we had a guest and it was too, you know.
Oh, I was trying to silence it to death, but okay.
I just feel like I want to talk about a little bit around what I think is, I guess just my general feelings about it. In general, I think it's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with the web monetization technology and we're talking about the stuff that PRX did. So PRX is doing, it's only in their web player and it's very limited. They have
allow me to kick it off because I caused a ruckus about it. And I apologize because I was just flying off the handle. But there is something deeper here. The way it came to me is exactly what I was afraid of. I saw headlines. I heard a headline. PRX value for value. I'm like, wow, this is great. And then I see that it's not value for value at all. Yet. Because it's missing a lot of, it's a payment. It's a payment, right, which is web and uses a different system than Lightning. That's fine. But it just hurt me because value for value is not just streaming payments or boostergrams. That's not value for value. It is truly the returning of value that you set yourself. Valueforvalue.info. It was a whole website about it, which, finally I think people are starting to look at it. Mm-hmm. Which I wrote with, why am I drawing a blank?
Gigi,
thank you. And there's a couple other people who've contributed some things. And I was just like, that's not what value for value can be done in many different ways with PayPal, with cash money, sending it through to a PO box. But just because you give $5 to a company and they give the content owner X amount per minute, it's not value for value. That's something different. And so then when I saw the PRX's own document, which mentioned value for value, it was very confusing. And so I went into protective mode of something that I named, something that we've been working on for 15 years. So value for value is distinctly different than web monetization and even Patreon is not value for value because you can't just, so many times I'm listening to something and I'm like, I really want to support them. How can I do it? Patreon. And the only way to do it on Patreon is to become a member of some level. I want to give you $50 right now. Can't do it on Patreon. So that's what value for value is. And so what happened here, the proposal that came in was marketed as such, reported as such. And that just I blew my top. So I was incorrect about accusations I made. It's absolutely fine. I want, we got an email the other day, and I'm starting to handle more emails. You like that, Dave? How I'm handling the emails for you?
Thank you very much.
Is that working for you?
It's 100% working.
Okay, good. No, and I enjoy doing it because I just say, we'll get on that within 24 hours. It'll be fixed if we can. And what the hell was I going to? There's something Open Content Foundation or something. It's like, hey, we have resources, we got money, we got engineers, we like this concept, we like the whole idea. I said, mm-hmm. Cool, tell me what's going on. And I look at it and it's like, it's like a kind of an Ethereum type thing, tokens, and I'm like, here's the spec. It would be great if you can integrate it this way and enjoy it. But we don't really need your resources for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, I go back to the what's the base protocol? So the value block itself was created to be plug and play with anything that people could dream up to fit in there.
Sure.
If you can figure out a way to put it in there in a way that makes sense with your backend infrastructure, go for it. Have fun. To knock yourself out. But as far as like the thing that I want to like personally like endorse or try to push for or things like that, those things, that's a different question. You know, like I will gladly approve and merge in, you know, things like any kind of PR that fits the spec and is in the spirit of what we're trying to do, you know, which is decentralized payments.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's, you know, that's a different question from my own personal beliefs, and which is, and on that note, I go back to, if the base protocol itself is open and decentralized and free and accessible, then what's built on top of it, like layers 2, 3, 4, whatever, they may not be perfect, but they'll at least maintain that base level of freedom. So yeah, they sort of inherit the properties of that base level of the parent, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm on Bitcoin for the value for value thing for Lightning.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, Bitcoin itself cannot handle the volume of traffic and the fee structure and all that stuff that's necessary to do this stuff. But Lightning can. But is Lightning a perfect protocol? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. And I think everybody, hopefully, and I think everybody involved in the Lightning ecosystem would admit that if they're being honest. I mean, things like Keysend, these are not perfectly designed protocols, if there even is such a thing. But when you compare it to something like web monetization, if I'm talking about pure decentralized payments, I can participate in the Lightning Network
without anyone else.
Right. Not as just an end user, but actually in the infrastructure flow itself.
And that's in the spec. It says specifically from the user directly to the producer.
Yeah, I can be a node within the network exchanging payment traffic. I can be in the flow, and there's nothing else there. I'm not a lower level, a higher level node where I have to then request to some lower level to do a thing. When you're running a Lightning node, you're already
You're equal. You're equal.
Everybody's equal. Yes. And so when that is contrasted with something like web monetization. And again, I want to say the web monetization stuff is fine. I merged it in. It's in there. It's in the spec now.
But here's the flaw. And this.
Let me finish my thought.
I'm sorry.
If the thing with the web monetization protocol, the Interledger protocol, the ILP stuff, it is inscrutable. It's not only inscrutable to most human beings if you read the spec, but you also, to be at the exchange, to be a node within there, you have to have access to banking. You essentially have to have lots of money and lots of resources to integrate with the traditional financial system and other blockchains. It is by no means anything that any normal human being can do with limited, normal, average human being resources. That's what that's what I think we all just need to be aware of. You were talking about two things that fit a spec, but other than that, they're not comparable in any way.
First of all, new show title, Inscrutable. That's a great word.
Inscrutable money.
The definition of inscrutable is interesting. Inscrutable, not readily investigated, interpreted, or understood. I like inscrutable. Good word. This, to me, is a bit of a throwback. Here's the overall problem. Just getting something into the spec or putting something in the value block is really not even half the work. This reminds me of the LNURL mafia. And all they were interested in is that their version of payments was in the spec. No one incentivized a single developer of any apps. And, the Interledger folks, they reached out to us. Hey, you want a grant? You want some money? No, thank you for a whole bunch of reasons, our own personal reasons, but we don't really want to take any corporate money. That's bottom line. We don't want to take any corporate money from anybody because then we are, we offered lots of things, advisorships, shares, no. We don't want that because then we're compromised or potentially compromised. And so, if a company gives you money to create something and then get it into the 2.0 spec, that's great. But still, we have all these developers who are walking, they're hanging on by their fingernails to the ledge, of just scraping by to make their apps work. And it's a huge ask to implement something else. That's my problem. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's great. You can put, Visa, put your stuff in there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be real easy to say, oh, yeah, you can use Visa card, although you can't, but okay. But that's just a part of the equation. And we spent years, literally years, working with app developers and hosting companies and wallet providers to bring this all together. So, come back when you've done some work is kind of how I feel about it.
Well, we just need to all understand what it is, really. I think that's the biggest thing. It looks like, based on the proposal that Benjamin Bellamy linked to, and again, I just want to be as clear as I can be. This is not a criticism in any way of PRX or anything like that.
No.
PRX got paid to do that integration. It was fine. It looked like the grant was like $85,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that grant came from that Coil fund or whatever that thing is. And Coil is the company that's pushing this Interledger spec. And so PRX got paid to do that integration. That's fine. But if any company's business plan that involves giving away $85,000 to have somebody support your protocol is probably going to have in that same business plan a future where they make a large amount of money off that infrastructure.
Hey, son, so, I really like your R&B song. Here's a pink Cadillac.
Yep.
Don't worry, got you covered. Yep.
Exactly. And that's there again. I have no problem with any of this. I just think we all need to understand what the pieces are here, what's going on, so that we can have proper understanding of what we intend to, support or how we're thinking about these things. Because if Stripe wanted to turn their API into a web standard, now everybody's going to use the Stripe infrastructure. I think we would all agree that's not a open system.
No,
I mean, would it technically fit the spec? Yeah. But I don't think none of us would be
excited, under the impression, excited by it.
Yeah. Because you're like, okay, well, you can still be deplatformed. You can still be taken off, mm-hmm. You can still have your payments revoked. You can still do all this kind of stuff. And is it possible that in a future LSP type infrastructure, I've talked with Alex about this. We've had good conversations about the potential, you know, about what is the future for LSP type stuff, mm-hmm. where you're sort of renting other people's channels and that kind of thing. You know, there's concerns there because, you know, you could, once you sort of go out into that world, well, you know, maybe there's possibility for payment censorship there.
Sure.
I don't know, but I guess I keep coming back to,
well, there's a censorship possibility with GetAlbi as well. I mean, GetAlbi could censor, yes. If I'm not saying, right. I'm just saying, you know, if you're not in, anything's possible in that regard. And of course, you know, value for value was never intended to be censorship resistant. This was the upgrade in my mind.
But I know that if I install, if I install an app with a full node, something like Breeze, and the podcaster I'm trying to support runs their own node, I know in at least that one scenario, I know that payment is going to go through. Nothing's going to stop it.
Right.
So there are lots of ways that even Lightning itself can be, you know, not the panacea and the savior that people may think it is, but at least the protocol spec itself, if adhered to in a very strict way, that does give you at least the promise of that freedom, you know. And I think there's always that fallback, you know, it's there. But with something like Interledger or some other system, that not even that promise is not even there.
I would have less of an issue with it if you could determine how much you're giving, because I, you know, there's really no difference between, you know, sticking your money into Coil and then, you know, having it go to podcasters on the other end, but not being able to determine how much, and for the podcaster not being able to create a split. I mean, that's just not value for value. That's a micropayment system. That's going to be the same probably with the LSAT system. I'm, you know, will the LSATs, will they support the value block? You know, I don't know.
For 95% of podcasts, this is just not even an issue. But there's that low single digit percentage of podcasts that push the envelope and are going to, you know, and it's not just wacky stuff. I mean, people who have whistleblowers on their show, there's lots of scenarios that you can think up where somebody's monetization would be threatened. And there are going to be a small percentage of shows out there where that really is an issue in legitimate ways, not for what, you know, political crap, but in legitimate ways, that's really an issue. You know, repressive regimes, podcasts coming out of China. Who knows? Just think, you can think up a dozen if you just sit down for a while. So this is not an issue. The being deplatform resistant is not an issue that to take lightly. It is an important issue. And so I think that does actually have to play into the things that we support and with, I mean, like push, you know, like, hey, rah, the things that we do rah, rah for.
Well, this, yeah, rah, rah. Exactly. That's what we started this for, those very reasons.
Yeah.
People were being thrown off of Apple Podcasts and PayPal was clamping down. And just by stating that, a lot of people didn't like us in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And never will.
No,
and we softened our stance. Oh, by the way, you know, our podcast index.social is blocked by a number of instances because, you know, we're all for free speech. It's a very bad idea.
We're fash adjacent.
New show title, fash adjacent.
That was one of the reasons, fash adjacent. What's funny is I didn't even know I was a fascist.
Now, is it F-A-S-H?
Until the guy on Mastodon told me.
Is it F-A-S-H adjacent? How do they?
F-A-S-H. Yeah, fash.
Fash adjacent. I kind of like that. That's a bumper sticker.
It's always fun. It's always fun to be for something about yourself to be revealed to you by rando on social media.
Anyway.
I just thought we wanted to talk about it. Just, you know. It's a big deal.
I would welcome PRX to, you know, if they're interested, we'll give you all the liquidity we can give you.
We can't give you $85,000, but we'll give you a channel.
Yeah, we'll give you a channel with millions of sats. We'll do that. We'd love to. You know, it's all ready for you. You're doing the work. You know, just add a couple things. I don't think PRX supports any other value for value system, do they?
I don't know that they ever would. Now, I could be, I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like they're the public radio audience probably disproportionately is, or hates Bitcoin. I mean, I feel like that's a true statement.
Maybe. Well, if it's, but, if it's, yeah, I mean, yes, if you, crypto, oh, it's crypto bros. That's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully one day that stigma will go away. But I mean, until then, I'm not expecting to hear Ira Glass talk, doing a Booster Gram corner anytime soon.
It would be
hilarious.
He'd be great at it. I'm sure he'd be fantastic. Yeah. No.
Do you see the Cloudflare?
I did.
The Mastodon game?
Yeah, I have it in the show notes even. I figured we'd bring that up. So is that something that the devs can use to integrate? Wildebeest, an activity pub and Mastodon compatible server. So that's something you can just spin up right away?
It appears so. I don't know anything about it yet because I just saw Nathan's post about it today. And it looks like some sort of like lightweight combination of an activity pub with like an activity pub supporting server.
Well, you can do it with
an API,
and you can do it without images, which is a huge savings. You can 100,000 images a month, storage $5, 200,000, $10, $1 million, $50, custom, blah, blah, blah. But you can also choose to not activate it. So it might be perfect just for cross app comments.
It feels like the thing that I was about to build.
Yeah. Well, but for the same reason, you were building a bridge with Helipad, and I'm kind of interested in hearing what you were planning, or maybe you already started working on it.
Well, I had not done any coding yet, but I have it written, some of the parts written out on paper. I usually draw things out on paper first. And so that was basically what I was looking at is to make as much of it as into static files as possible. So there's the Webfinger component, the JSON LD, all of those things could be just static files that get updated when there's a status change. Then there's the sort of notification or action part of it. That's what I was trying to work on. And so I was going to pull in the shell of what Helipad was, because it's got all the pieces that I need there, and then sort of like strip that out and begin to build off of that. I'm kind of wondering if we're just going to give this a shot first. I mean, if it's cheap, if it's like super dirt cheap, I mean, I'm all about decentralizing.
They have a whole free tier.
Yeah. I mean, I want the stuff that we build, like Helipad and things like that, I want that stuff to be runnable by people in their own infrastructure, not dependent on things. But, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. I mean, how you'd have to ask yourself, well, how many people are going to run a Lightning to Activity Pub bridge? I mean, I don't know that that's really going to be something that lots of people want to do. That's a really specific niche thing. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I don't feel really like it's worth the time. Because when you make something open, it'll be open. Whatever we do will be open source. But I mean, when you make something not only open source, but also when you curate it and care for it in a way that lets other people run it on their system.
Yeah.
That's you're signing up for support, long-term support.
Yeah. For a lot of work
and a lot of bug fixes and things like that. And I'm not sure the trade-off here is worth it, but I don't know. It may be, I mean, we'll see. This may not work like I think it will.
So if I were to describe this, you were going to do, basically a Mastodon API server in Rust. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
It would be a software that looks for incoming Lightning payments, that queries a node for incoming payments, extracts the TLV, sees if the message is meant to be public or not, if it's okay for it to be public.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it is, it posts it to, it looks up the episode information out of the TLV, gets the root post from the social interact tag if there is one, and if there is one, it posts as a reply to that root post.
Oh, that's beautiful. Let me go to Chat GPT. Let me ask him to write the code. Hold on. Oh, Chat GPT is at capacity right now. Oh no.
Oh, that $3 million a day hurts.
Oh, no. Oh, no. But alas, the server cannot cope. The error message rings loud and clear. Please check back soon.
You can't even ask it when it's going to be back up again.
No, you can get notified when we're back, and you fill in your email address.
You get notified when they get more money. I heard that thing costs like $3 million a day to run.
Well, there's a lot of noise about this, and I made the bold prediction on the show you didn't hear yesterday. I said, this thing is going to fail. It's going to be a massive failure. It's going to be billions of dollars, and for whatever the reason is, it's not going to take off.
The ChatGPT?
Yeah. This whole... Whoa,
okay.
Yeah, I actually got it to admit the other day that it was typing...
You got it to
admit. Oh, yeah, I did. I'm mad. Because one, it's
you're
a...
Like, it's a you.
Yes. Well, it's a trick. You know, what is the trick? The trick that humanizes it is it's typing its answer to you. You know, in my mind, that's a parlor trick. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's impressive. But, and I said, I didn't even ask a question. I say, is typing out the words, it's a statement. It is a parlor trick, typing out the words to make you appear more human, in quotes. Answer, yes. Mm-hmm. Providing answers in a way that is similar to how a human would respond is one way to make the interaction with the AI feel more natural and intuitive for users. Well, there you go. It's a trick. So if it just spit back a block of code, it wouldn't be as exciting.
Yeah, so the only thing that would make it better is if it was in that green screen monochrome yes. CRT format.
And it ended with, would you like to play a game? Then it would be good.
Yeah. It was all grainy. You know, yeah.
So it's a parlor trick, really. And it's wrong. I mean, it has stuff wrong, and that's going to piss people off.
Now, the one thing that I have, I don't have access to it because I didn't want to give it my personal information, but the one thing I don't know that anybody's asked it is write some code that will query the podcast index.
Okay, hold on. I just got in again. You let me in.
Okay, they got them VC infusion.
They got some money. Oh, yeah. It's spending a lot of time on signing in. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
No, you're getting me.
Yeah. Yeah, what's that? I wish I had the Miss Pac-Man sad sound. Okay, well, that may not log in. Okay.
Okay.
Here it is. What was the question?
Write some code that will query podcast index for episode data.
Podcast index. I'll do .org and give it a help. Oh, wait. Write some code that will query
some code.
Well, that's what you said.
I know. I'm laughing at myself.
That will query the podcast
index API for episode data.
For episode. Uh-huh. Episode data. All right. Let's go. Here is some Python code that uses the request library to query the podcast API for episode data.
Podcast API? What's a podcast API?
A podcast index API. I'm sorry. It's writing import requests. It has a URL for the module. api.podcastindex.org/api/1.0/episodes/by_feed. Let me send this code to you, Dave. I'm not sure if it's actually code.
I wonder if there you go. I wonder if it just basically just scraped the GitHub repo.
It might. It gives me a whole explanation. Oh, they've got more code. Oh, goodness.
So what's it doing now?
It says in the code above, I send it to you on Signal. We first import the request library, then we define the base URL for the podcast. It's basically just it gets the response.json and
That's completely wrong.
This is very wrong. This looks, even I can see this is wrong. This is wrong. It's showing
no authorization tokens. There's nothing in here.
It's showing you how to access an API, basically. It's not feeds.megaphone.fm/some-podcast-feed. Okay.
Well, that's not even, they don't even get our API endpoint right. It's not episodes/by_feed. That's wrong.
Well, it's how come my code doesn't work, man? ID. Yeah, let me put in. Oh, yeah. The code didn't work. Let's see what it says.
Somebody, mark my words, somebody is going to email us and say, hey, I got this code and it doesn't work. Can you help me troubleshoot? And it's going to be this crap.
Anyway, it's
spending. I'm gonna say 24 hours. Give me 24 hours.
Yeah, right. It's spending a lot of time telling me why it's not going to work. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not all that impressive. Gotcha.
No, it's stupid.
No. All right. What else do we have to talk about? I have a couple of things here. Do you have anything on your? Oh, I wanted to thank Boobery. I put two links in the show notes. For the, it's the Boostbots code, GitHub, and the IR Cacophony, which is the framework for triggering sounds via IRC. So
great name, by the way.
I mean, I'd love to have an Umbral app or something that just runs this stuff, because clearly my ChatGPT is not going to be able to help me. I'd love to have this, firing different sounds. It's cool. It's really, really cool. I like it a lot.
So I've been playing around with Nathan Gathright. We're talking a lot about him today. He's actually going to be on the show soon.
Who's this?
Get him on. Nathan G.
From
Nathan Gathright. He's, works for Spotify now. He's, he's all over podcastindex.social. He's real helpful. Good guy. Right. But he wrote a podcast image API using Cloudflare workers. And he sent me how to deploy it. And it works great. So I've been playing around with that. That's the thing. It's the thing we've been trying to build for years, multiple times. So basically you can just ask it for an image of a feed GUID.
Mm-hmm.
You can just say, here's the feed GUID and I need an image. I need its image and I want it to be this size. And it will just give it back a resized image.
Right. Oh, how beautiful. You've been working on that?
No, I've been playing around with the code he wrote.
Oh, cool.
Works great. I deployed it to our Cloudflare instance or whatever you want to call that tenant, our Cloudflare tenant. And it works killer. And so I gotta get some little bit more time to play with it and see, and make sure I fully understand how it's working. And then, hopefully we can get him on the show, because he's also building steno.fm, the transcript.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Got it. Hopefully when he gets some traction on that and gets ready for that, we'll have him on. We just go over all of it at the same time, but it's pretty killer, and I'm hoping that this will solve people's problems, because now you can just have one CORS enabled place to request images. You don't have to have 4 million different your domains that you have to request images from, and they're all normalized. You don't have to worry about getting back a PDF. It's great. It's working exactly like what I.
Now, is that something that anyone can set up and then run themselves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, he's published the code. It's open on GitHub.
Beautiful. And I want that in my Umbral too. I want all of it on my Umbral.
It's not this is not Umbral
friendly. Not Umbral friendly. No.
Yes. Yeah, you have to. You deploy. You download it. You clone the repo, and then you put in your Cloudflare information. You deploy the code to your Cloudflare workers, and it will. Then begin to do your thing, because you set up a specific subdomain to call that Cloudflare worker, and then that's how you interact with it. It's great.
Cool.
It's great.
Well, all these things are just, you're right. I think we've had a lot of serious development going on recently. It feels really good.
It does. Yeah, it does. It feels good to have a bunch of good solid development going on.
Yeah.
During in a mature project. It's not the early days anymore. You know, I mean, things are, we've been here a while now. And so, and there's still big, nice progress being made, which is a good feeling. It's a good feeling.
Should we thank a few people so we can?
Yeah,
because we were playing around so much before we started the show talking about cars, yeah, which I apologize to the podcast listeners because it was good stuff.
It was. Tune in early.
That's right. When we go lit, you want to be there. Let's see. Kick it off here with these are the live boosts that came in, and as you heard, we don't take money from corporations. We don't use advertising. Your support of Podcast Index, the show, Podcasting 2.0, supports podcastindex.org directly. It goes into paying bills. It additionally goes into providing liquidity. Anybody who has a node or wants a channel, we're happy to give it to you. Not a problem at all. Even if it screws up and closes, we'll open up a new one. And that stuff happens. So we're happy to do it. Anyone who needs it. And it keeps everything rolling. And you can do that by going to podcastindex.org if you want to. While it's still possible, you know, before the fash adjacent is no longer possible on PayPal, you can send us your fiat fund coupons, the big red donate button. We also have a Tallycoin QR code there, which you can hit with Lightning or with on-chain Bitcoin, and of course through any of the modern podcast that you could podcast apps, you can get at newpodcastapps.com now with HTTPS. And coming in from Fountain Fletcher, 14,141 sats, 14141. Have I been annexed by fascists?
Oh,
yeah, yes, yeah, you have. Mike Newman. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Boost.
Very nice, man. Thank you.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
These days, that's a, you know, Bitcoin moving towards 20,000. That's nice. Mike Newman celebrating getalbionfountain.fm, joining the party, easing the fiat to freedom.
Yeah. Thank you,
boost,
Mike.
Boost. And that came in from Podverse. Next, we have... see, no name. We got Eric PP, 33,333. Thank you very much. Dovidas, who actually
Blue.
Is that R? Oh, okay, right. Prodded me to get the HTTPS thing working. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. 17,777. That's like a straight up striper boost, I guess. Oh, one striper boost. Chad F 3333. He says, I've been using Albi with Podverse and iOS for the past month and it's been rock solid. Agree. There's Boobery 33,333. Does anyone present have an opinion on an open source solution to Substack for weekly newsletters show notes? Would be nice to link inside the article for headers to headers for chapters. Also, finally got some inspiration for value for value GIF art for the lit. Get pumped.
Alex recommended to me the other day, Write Freely. And
yeah, I've looked at that. That's a cool little thing. Yes, I agree. That is good.
Yeah, I think that's a good, I think his use of it is enough endorsement for me.
Yes. 10,000 sats from Chad F, who was clearly listening to the pregame. He says, nothing screams ex-MTV VJ like an El Camino.
is that the chosen vehicle of ex-MTV VJ?
Only if you have the vanity plate MTV Rocks, ROX.
Oh, okay.
By the way, when I was at MTV and I just had registered MTV.com, I had MTV.com as a license plate.
How'd you get the dot? Did you draw it in with a Sharpie?
Exactly. Martin Lindiskog with a row of ducks soon talking with Mitch of Podverse. So I have to listen to you guys later on. Oh, okay. Nope. The okay. Tea Party Media Podcast. Thank you. We have Dreb Scott pre-boosting. He says 88,888. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Oh, thank you, Dreb.
Very nice. 1,000 sats.
By the way, Mike Newman, he gave us a baller boost a while ago. He is the maintainer of the team repo that keeps credit where credit is due.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yes. Where are we? Sakai the horse with 1,000. No note. Thank you. Thank you, Sakai. Boob donation. Nope. That's I'm looking at my, my helipad. That's why I'm mixing it up here. I think that actually that was it. We had a, well, this is 5 hours ago. That's the Delimiter comics or blogger. Okay. So over to you, Dave. You've got the PayPals, the Boosts, and the monthlies.
We have no PayPals.
Zero PayPals.
We got monthlies, but we don't have any, any one-offs.
We are transitioning. We are off the PayPals. I'm really happy because we still have money. We can still pay the bills. So this is good. Thank you all. Thank you all very much.
I'm waiting to see how. That's another reason I'm proceeding cautiously with the podcast, with Nathan's podcast image repo code. I'm waiting to see how this impacts the bottom line. On the Cloudflare things. Looking at the pricing table, I feel pretty good about it. I don't think it's going to be a killer.
What's our Cloudflare bill these days?
It's like Cloudflare bill is
$80.
Yeah, $70, $75, something like that. And then our Linode bill is around $500. So it's about, I think Cloudflare is like $70, something like that. But we do have some boostergrams. We got 6,500 from NA Millennial. It says, love hearing from Mitch and love Podverse, boosted through Fountain for maximum irony.
Yes, well done.
Yes. Chimp sent us 97,531 sats through Podverse. Boost!
Nice.
It says, boosting from Miami, home of the FTX arena.
By the way, I saw in the new Fountain, they have like an activity stream on the homepage now. I saw you boosting a podcast with 200,000 sats. You baller, you baller. And you know what that did to me? It made me subscribe to that podcast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it shamed you into sending bigger boosts.
No, I didn't. I don't know what podcast it was. I just, whatever it is. And this, by the way, is your podcast discovery. This is your discovery. Yeah. When I see Dave Jones liking something with 200,000 sats, I'm gonna subscribe. I'll listen to it later. It's got to be good.
Bunch of buddies of mine that do a Dungeons and Dragons podcast, and they're like, it's funny. That's what that is?
Up. Okay, I'm going to unsubscribe. Yeah. Hold on.
it was funny because their D&D campaign is set in Coleman County, Alabama.
Which is pretty funny. What's interesting now, when I liked your comment, for some reason it was 420 sats. I think it does like a multiple of, my minute sats are always set to 200 sats a minute. So because it was because it was 200,000 sats, it took that, it added the 20, and it turned out to be 420, which I just thought was funny by itself. Whatever Fountain's doing, I like it. You're taking my money and I'm feeling good about it. So well done.
I was looking at Fountain's charts here because they just brought their podcast back because it had been gone for a while. And I was like, I'm going to give them a big baller boost, try to get them up on the charts here. But I don't know how these things are calculated. So I was trying to game the system.
Smoke and mirrors, man. Smoke and mirrors. Doesn't matter. And I'm always happy when there's someone else on top, except one of the shows I'm doing. It's like, make it somebody else, please.
your modesty. You're just so modest.
No, I don't really like leaderboards and charts, but, I'm not going to tell them not to put us on it. Because, of course, Tina gets a big kick out of seeing Curry and the Keeper on the list.
So Martin Lindeskog, 2222, Row of Ducks, and he says, Dave, did you get my late 2022 boostergram of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Satoshis? Yes, the missing...
we found that? We found the fishing one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I did find it, and I printed it out, and it's upstairs.
Well done, sir.
Podcasts are cool.
Double make good next week.
Write that down.
I'm right. Let's see.
I'm going to put it in the show notes myself. I'm a reminder. Martin, it's going to pop up for me. I'll be like, oh, yes.
This is the ultimate way to do
value for value, people. This is how you do it.
Gene Bean, 2222 through Fountain. He says, regarding Mastodon and Sidekick, at Nova at hackaderm.io and team are looking at the scalability and alternative solutions. Okay.
All right.
Good luck, Nova.
Yep.
Gene Bean again, 2222 through Fountain. He says, oh, yikes. I had no idea episode splits were not supported by Podverse. Well, they are.
No, they're not. That's a real problem.
That's right. I'm on Buzzsprout, and like most hosts, they direct me to the podcaster wallet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, episode splits aren't on podcaster wallet either. So that's a double oops. Yikes.
I thought you could do episode splits. I guess you can't do them on podcaster wallet. Only show level.
Nope. That's right. Mm. Yeah, grumble.
Yeah, that is a grumble because I really rely on this, and I feel kind of bad because we have people listening on Podverse to the lit shows and the No Agenda does do it at show level. Okay, yeah,
I think you put it at the show level also each week, like when there's a new person, right?
On No Agenda, yes, but not on Podcasting 2.0. I've just always been doing it at the episode level.
Yeah, okay, there's Mitch and Alex. Okay. Yeah, I see them last week. Uh-huh. All right, yeah, I'll revisit that at some point. I'll put it in there. Chad F., 50,000 sats through Podverse, no note.
No, thank you very much, Chad.
You made me boost! Do a note, Chad.
Note, man. Note us.
Note
how you doing, Booster?
Gene Bean again, 2222, says, Dave, you can change Mastodon to where all signups have to be approved. Fostodon does it. Yes, we do this too. That's right.
On the podcast. That's three boosts from Gene F.
Boost.
There's three boosts.
James Cridlin, 1001 through Fountain. He says, great episode. Super good to hear everyone pulling towards cross-app comments in a way that can work for everyone. Go podcasting.
No,
last week's episode was great. It was very productive.
1,001 sats. You don't get a go podcasting. You get a droopy boost. I sent 77,777 sats to his show the other day.
Oh, yeah. That's mega striper boost. That's an arena striper boost. Yes. With a keytar. Yeah. With a keytar. I thought last week's episode was great. It was great. When you have professionals on the show instead of us two yahoos, things get done, you know?
That's what I liked about the episode. It was definitely not for everybody, but I agree. It was, and you had done this on purpose, and I liked it a lot. You brought in the people who could actually cut through the crap and figure it out. And we made some, I think we had some conclusions and that sparked good stuff with the people. It truly was a board meeting conversation.
Yeah. I know when we need maturity to come and give us some, and whip us into shape.
Yes, so, you do.
Appreciate Alex coming on and Mitch both. Roland, 1,000 sats. He says, I set up my V4V podcast with Anchor, Albie, and Podcaster Wallet. We'll go, Roland. Good job, dude.
All right, buddy.
Boost!
Mike Dell, 22222, Big Row of Ducks through Podverse. He says, Blueberry is podcasting 2.0 certified.
Woohoo!
That's right, you are.
That's really big, and I'm really excited that the Blueberry is on that tip. That leaves only Libsyn, right? Who are just lagging. What?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing at me? Why are you raffing?
I'm raffing at Libsyn.
You know, Cridlin keeps hinting that a podcast company will go bankrupt this year. And I can't help it, but I always hear Libsyn in my mind.
No, they're not going bankrupt. I know who it is.
You know who it is? How come?
I know who's going back. I've got my theory about who's going back.
Oh, you have a theory. Okay. All right.
Yes. Well. I'm not going to reveal this theory because it will hurt people's feelings.
No. Can we help them?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Done. All right.
Mike Dell.
I mean, hold on. I'm sorry. You say we can't help them. Whatever it is, someone's having a financial issue. I'm really good at helping people raise money. And if it's someone that, you know, that wants to be helped, I mean, I just don't want to laugh it off. Is there any way we can help this company?
I want to be clear that I don't have inside information. I just know that, I have my theory about, because I've been thinking this for about 6 months already, mm-hmm. that with the economy, And we're starting to see layoffs. Not just layoffs on big companies, but layoffs on, they're starting to hit the smaller companies too.
Yeah.
And I think the next 6 to 12 months is going to be painful.
For sure.
So I don't know it. But if it's the company that I've thought of for the last few months, there's no turning that
tide. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I will say, if anyone needs help raising money or any kind of issues, we're gladly here to help if we can. Always happy to help.
And I'll say that I think that everybody would be better off if it actually happened too.
So, oh, like, poor Anchor. Poor lives, Anchor. Yeah. Oh, okay. Anchor. Oh, wait, Anchor's already safe.
Yeah, we need to get Todd and Mike back on the show. I mean, they've just been, we got to get an update from the horse's mouth.
Right. We got Oscar Mary coming up first, I think.
Next week. Yep. Next week. I'm not sure when I can get Nathan on. It depends on him. And then we'll get Todd and Mike on.
Excellent. Well, yeah, because now is the time that when people release something big, this is where we need to come on the show. Let's talk about it. Let's promote it. Hopefully somewhere in the next few weeks, we'll also have Ibex. We'll complete their lightning node. I mean, they have the invoice part, and it goes because they can pay you out in Bitcoin or in US dollars through your bank account, which is a big deal for a lot of people who want to do it that way.
You're targeting 2-1, right? You're targeting 2-1.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just asked for an update today. It's like, you know, if you get that done, then we'll promote it. We'll help you.
What if they say that they're going to switch everything to web monetization?
Well, it's not fair to try and tease me like that, to say bad things.
We've taken a grant from web monetization, and we're going to change our business model.
I love, by the way, that the economy is going to shit, and it doesn't matter if we fire either of us.
Yeah, fire us both.
Doesn't save any money.
Yeah, that's the good thing about being cheap.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it's job security.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Mike Dale again. 1500 sats through Fountain. He says, leaning out my Fountain wallet. I like to be leaning out. Roy Scheinfeld. Look who showed up.
Hey, Roy.
54321 from Breeze. He says, go podcast.
And we love that.
Go podcasting!
He is the only lightning-related company, LSP-like company, that has ever supported us. Never seen anything from Lightning Labs or any of those guys. I mean,
the Bitcoin guys, they talk big, but they never send any sats.
No. And, you know, and any one of them could send us a full coin.
Yeah. We've gotten more sats, excluding Roy, we've gotten more sats from Brian and Hive than we have from the Bitcoin people.
And look at the
let
people.
Let that sink in.
Yeah, but look at all the app guys. Fountain supports us. Podverse supports us. The several hosting companies support us. RSS.com, Buzzsprout, Blueberry, you know, these, thank you. Just thank you so much. Thank you for, and when I say support, I mean, you're returning value. That's really what you're doing. That's nice. It feels good. Oh, thank man, you, Tina's cooking something really good.
Does it smell good?
Oh, Friday. Friday.
She's cooking at 2:20 in the afternoon.
My girl is fantastic, bro. I tell you.
Is this a pie? Is it a pie?
You know, I made her go through all of the apps, doing all of the signups. She's so brave. She's so brave. She's great. Cause you know, she is not afraid, but she'll like, hey, I don't understand this. Stop the train.
That's, that's valuable information.
I'm sorry. It's just because I smelled this meal that is cooking. I got hypnotized.
Anonymous, 10,000 sats. Thank you, Anonymous. That was the podverse.
Interesting.
Nomad Joe sent us 2,000 sats. Your Fountain, he says, Thanks for access to the board meeting. Well, you're welcome, oh, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come right in.
Come on in anytime you want, man. Yeah.
There's donuts and coffee on the counter.
Yes, Boost.
That's a new one.
Anyway, that came from
Busy Brain sent us 10,000 sats through Fountain. Says, thank you guys for all you do to build what I personally think is a world-changing protocol for the betterment of society. I feel honored to have the opportunity to listen in from afar. This will be the first of many boosts you'll likely see from me in the future. Much love from Reading Bitcoin Podcast. Oh, well, there's a Bitcoin guy.
There you go. Thank you, Bitcoin guy.
Busy Brain, you just saved your tribe.
And Dreb Scott just dropped a 22,222 boost. Row of ducks boosting for the pew pew.
Oh.
Pew, pew, pew. There you go, Dreb. We take requests.
I love the pregnant pew-pew paws.
Yeah.
That was good. Stephen B., row of sticks, or a satchel of Richards. He says, through the podcast index webpage, he says, Kiwi browser mobile test boost.
Ooh.
Okay, what's a Kiwi browser?
Ooh, I think that's something that... So, Kiwi browser, it runs on Android, and I believe you can load extensions. So, ooh. Yeah. And thank you. There's another app developer who is supporting us with value. Thank you very much, Stephen B., CurioCaster. Huh.
Okay.
I'll have to look at the Kiwi browser. That's cool.
Roland sent us 1,000 sats through Podverse. He says, testing split payments with Albi. Test successful, Roland.
Ah, very good.
Sat streamer.
The Tone Wrecker sent us 40,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, renewing annual scissor insurance. Please proceed. Says, please proceed to commence running again.
Woo, careful now. Boost, careful, boost, careful, boost. Careful.
No, I just think I just got an eyebrow. Ooh, okay. And let's see. We got True Grits. Oh, True Grits. I always struggle with this name. 6,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, I would like to see cross-out comments, especially for podcasts that don't use boostergrams. I would like that too, True Grits.
Oh, and before I forget.
Yep.
Oscar was working on some, I made a suggestion in some thread we were on about the boostergrams for podcasting 2.0, which are private and so don't show up on Fountain. And he's working on a way for us to toggle it so that after we've done the live show, then they can be displayed. Which
ooh,
I think
cool.
is a great way to do it. That makes me really happy. So we still have the surprise element. And of course, it would be even better if we wanted to not have one show up. It doesn't matter. If we can turn them live after we've done the lit show and gone through the donation segment, I love it. Beautiful idea.
Oh, cool. Chat with him about that next week. Comic strip blogger, The Delimiter, 33,015 sats through Fountain. And he says, Dandy Dave and Astute Adam. Get the scoop on what technocratic elites are preparing for humanity by portioning out an episode of the AI.cooking podcast. Therein, you will find multiple news items detailing growth in the field of artificial intelligence, along with historical context and knowledge, all explained by former crypto day trader and marijuana advocate, Guf. Stay dangerous, yo.
Yo, I just asked ChatGPT, which is AI, what is the AI.cooking podcast and who hosts it? I'm sorry, I'm not aware of an AI.cooking podcast.
Oh, that's crap.
It is likely a podcast with that name that does not exist or a new podcast. My knowledge cutoff is 2021. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it started out. It's, I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, and listen to this now. Many podcasts are available for free through various platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and SoundCloud. I say, yay. Hey. You piece of shit. I'm sorry if my previous answer did not meet your expectations. As a language model, blah, blah, blah. I'm very sorry. Stop generating.
AI.cooking started in April 30th of 2021. So this thing's a piece of crap. Yeah, you can't hide behind your date cutoff. All right, we got some monthlies. Podverse, $50. Thank you, Podverse. Basil Phillip, $25. David Norman, $25. Hey, David.
Hey.
Lauren Ball, $24.20. Mitch Downey of Podverse, also $10. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Soren Huger Mahler, $5. Terry Keller, $5. Jeremy Kavanaugh, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Paul Saltzman, $22.22.
He always has the same. Love him for that.
Damon Kasajak, $15. And Derek J. Visker, $21. Great name.
I just entered AI period cooking, which would be the correct AI dot cooking. And here's what ChatGPT said. I apologize for my previous confusion. AI.cooking is a podcast that focuses on the intersection of AI and culinary arts. The podcast is hosted by Saren Soylu, who is a researcher and developer with a background in artificial intelligence, robotics, and machine learning. The episodes focus on a wide range of topics, such as the use of AI in recipe generation, kitchen automation, and the future of food. The podcast is available on various platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and SoundCloud.
This is bullcrap. That's not even true. This podcast doesn't exist.
Oh, let's see. AI.cooking. I mean, that's supposed to take us to Gwoof's thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The only AI I look up on Podcast Index, AI. If I look up AI cooking.
Yeah.
I get AI. I get CSB's podcast. And I get some French thing that doesn't make any sense.
That is incorrect.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Is the podcast. I'll do the URL. Give it to it there. Okay.
This is garbage.
This is going to fail so bad. This is going to. I'm closing this out. This is annoying me. Make sure I never do that again.
Okay.
Please.
You'll never do that
please.
Again.
I'll never going to do this
again. Stick in your pie hole.
Oh, please. I'm so sad I even started this today. I apologize to everybody. I mean, I'm obsessed with how shitty it is. I think that's it.
Yeah, it's like watching a train wreck.
I want to discredit it all the time as much as I can.
You're doom scrolling. This is the audio equivalent of doom scrolling.
Okay. You got a full weekend of family time? You going to do anything fun?
Yeah, this is the last day of day job hell week where we do a big software rollout, a phone system upgrade, a NetApp SAN storage firmware upgrade, and onboard about 10 employees all in the same week.
Wow. So, did you also do the NOTAM upgrade Wednesday?
NOTAM?
Yeah, the what notice to airmen.
Oh, yeah. What was that? You don't have to give me the full NA skinny, but give me the thumbnail sketch. What happened?
You know what? The opening of yesterday's No Agenda is half an hour, and it's all about that because you can't really do a thumbnail sketch.
I'll just listen to that.
There's too much. And I'm getting information now from people really in the know. But let's put it this way. I've been a pilot for 16 years. This has never happened before.
So it was definitely a software problem. Is that fair to say?
In so far that the software did not publish the information it was supposed to.
That's not good.
That doesn't mean that it was a problem. That could have just been a stop. A whole bunch of reasons that could have happened.
Well, FAA needs to hire Alex because he fixes government problems.
There was a lot of fighter jets and air tankers, though, at the same time. So I don't know. Could just be coincidence. Could just be coincidence.
Oh, I like how you said, this thing went horribly wrong. It must have been Dave did that upgrade. Thanks a lot for that.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, I forgive you.
In fact, your stuff is rock solid. The Freedom Controller has been running for how many years now, Dave?
I'm afraid to even type the word uptime because I don't even want to know. It's scary.
It's so awesome how long this thing has been running. And I think the last time I had an issue was years ago. Years ago.
I'm going to check the uptime on your server today. I bet you it's like 5 years.
Let me see. Freedom. I thought I had a...
You have SSH into that, right?
I do.
I'm afraid to even SSH into it.
I think I have an alias so I don't have to remember all this stuff. It wasn't Freedom Controller. Maybe it was cart. Oh, I know what it was. SSH cart. There we go. Watch this. Oh, okay. I'm so awesome. Okay. What's the uptime? I'm in uptime. Dude, yeah. 479 days.
That's not as long as I thought it would be.
Well, Maybe
it must have rebooted itself or something. Because I have not manually rebooted that server in about 5 years. So something must have happened. Maybe you guys switched to a different.
Anything could have happened.
ADOBS EC2, and so maybe they just moved you to a new host or something. Because
anything, yeah, could have happened there. Let me see the last time we went in. No, I mean, I think this has been up for years. So you're right. That can't be right.
Yeah, I mean, I've not manually rebooted that thing since, like, you know, 2018.
Why would you?
Yeah, it doesn't do it. It doesn't need it. It just keeps running.
Because Dave's shit works, people. That's the bottom line.
That's right, FAA.
Here, you did an upgrade.
Okay.
I don't know when. Some upgrade. Oh, okay. Meanwhile, thank you all very much for boosting the dip recently, because that was great for us.
Oh, well, you got a lot of bleeps and bloops going on.
Yeah, that's Windows. Bitcoin now, 19,342. That's from like 16,000 a day ago or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, what was your theory on that? That something they've found FTX money or something?
Just a theory? $5 billion in FTX assets apparently were found. Big story on CNBC. So this is in the financial National Enquirer. And it was a combination of cash and liquid assets. And then they said, but we're worried about, and they literally said, we're in this article, I think I sent it to you, we're worried about the assets because the minute we start selling them, flooding the market, it's going to kill that asset. So my thinking, my thinking is that some kind of token, shitcoin, or maybe a stable coin, which would be, if it's a stable coin, it's a real problem. Because that will affect the bond market, believe it or not. So my theory is that people had borrowed Bitcoin to buy this shitcoin or stablecoin, whatever it is. And when they heard that, they're like, oh, crap, we better cover our Bitcoin borrow. Because, you know, when you borrow it, you have to pay it back. And the idea is, well, Bitcoin's going down. This token is going up. So I'll borrow the Bitcoin. And then at a certain point, Bitcoin will be going down enough where I buy the actual Bitcoin and give back the borrowed Bitcoin. That's a short. And the token will have gone up. So now the inverse is possibly happening. So people are freaking out going, oh, I better right away buy some Bitcoin to cover the Bitcoin that I borrowed.
So what started out as a hedge turned into a short squeeze.
Yeah. And actually the short squeeze there will really happen if this goes to 20,500. Then you'll see something massive happen. And it's interesting because I think the market itself today was predominantly down. Maybe it went up while we were doing the show.
So that tells you there's something technical going on, and it's not just a up with everything else up type of deal.
No, because I know the Dow Jones was down 200 or 300. It closed at 93, up 93. Nasdaq closed up a little bit.
Yeah, that I like that theory. That sounds right. It definitely feels like a technical thing.
Yeah, this is not just everyone going, wow, Bitcoin. Oh, I've seen the light. No, I don't think that happened.
No.
Woo, I got it. This is going to save the world. No, probably not. Probably.
I did see Brazil. Didn't Brazil pass some
Brazil legislation for, does Brazil have a government at this point?
There ain't no telling. There's no telling.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that moves the needle at all. I think this is
okay.
Yeah, you're right. Something technical. Something's going on. And never a boring moment in the Bitcoin game. Never a boring moment. Thank you all so much for boosting, for keeping us moving ahead, for greasing the wheels, for your value for value. Appreciate it so much. Thank you all for being with us here on the Lit Show. And if you're listening post haste on the podcast, hope you enjoyed this board meeting. We sure love doing it. My brother Dave, thank you.
Thank you, man. See you around next week.
Yeah. I'll somewhere next week. The door will be open. Donuts and coffee will be ready for our board meeting. Please join us then on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.
Go podcasting!
Yes, Boost.